Are you a caregiver? Are you helping take care of a child or an elderly person in your life? If you're not now, you probably will be at some point because the numbers of paid and unpaid caregivers is on the rise. This can be a burden, of course, but it's also an opportunity, according to Alyssa Strauss, author of the new book, When You Care, The Unexpected Magic of Caring for Others. Alyssa is a journalist, essayist, and opinion writer whose work has appeared in The New York Times, The Atlantic, Glamour, The American Prospect, and CNN. Here she is with five of her big ideas.
Hi, my name's Alyssa Strauss, and these are book bites for my book, When You Care. Number one, we will never adequately support caregivers without changing the way we see caregiving. For years and years, I wrote article after article about how America doesn't have paid leave, affordable and reliable childcare, or affordable and reliable elder care. At some point, I stopped and thought, I can't write one more. There is something deeper going on here. This isn't just about policy. We need to examine the care crisis from the roots up. I realize that the time has come for a cultural, intellectual, and emotional revolution in the way we see parenting and caregiving. There is no political change without cultural change, and vice versa. As a culture, we need more respect for and curiosity about care in order to get policymakers to see it in all its fullness and support caregivers accordingly. It's time for a new cultural narrative on care, one that moves past the old cliches. No more calling caregivers saints or heroes, or treating care as a nightmarish burden. Instead, we need to venture into the expansive terrain of what giving care is actually like. We need to find ways to place care at the center of the stories we tell ourselves about the good life and the way we define meaning and ambition. In order to do this, we need to give parents and caregivers curiosity and respect. We need to make space for their insights into what it means to be human. We also need to, at last, measure and honor care's full worth to society. Only when we widen the aperture on care will we be able to see caregivers for who they are and meet their needs. Number two, why we need to break glass doors. For decades now, the singular metaphor of the women's movement has been to look up at those glass ceilings blocking women's way to the power and achievements long only awarded to men. Up is good. Necessary. Women are more than half of humanity. Why shouldn't we have more money and more control? But we can't only look up because up represents a world order and hierarchy created by men for men and one in severe denial of care. We are all suffering for it. A feminist and ultimately humanist revolution focused on and fueled by care would aim not just to break glass ceilings, but also to attempt to break through what I call glass doors, those artificial barriers that isolate the care happening in our homes from the wider world without. These doors convince us that our struggles to care must only be our problem and that the solution must come from within. They partition care away, leaving us to buy into the myth that caring for another is something one person can and should manage on their own, rather than something that requires support. Just as importantly, they convince us that the richness of the experience of care and the lessons we learn from providing care have no place in the wider world. Number three, parenting and caregiving is good for everyone. Care is hard and made much harder by the fact that we live in a society which doesn't support caregivers. But by focusing so much on why it is hard, we ignore the vast potential in care and why we should be supporting caregivers in the first place. Care is obviously good for those who receive it. Less acknowledged is the way care is also good for the givers of care who, research shows, benefit psychologically and physiologically from the experience. Providing care is linked to longer lifespans, even in difficult circumstances, and finding one's life meaningful. Care also benefits society overall. Care is how everyone is given both basic human dignity and the support they need to contribute to society to the fullest of their capabilities. and it's essential for our economy. In the United States, unpaid care work would represent close to 15% of the GDP, or roughly $2.5 trillion, if it were counted. Such numbers help us see the potential economic benefits of collectively investing in care infrastructure. In fact, one analysis found a $100 billion annual investment in a childcare tax credit would be worth close to $800 billion to society. These numbers also help caregivers feel seen and appreciated. In a capitalist system where self-worth and financial worth can be hard to separate, there's dignity in discovering that what you do is worth something. Number 4. Care is a fertile philosophical experience. For much of history, our ideas about right and wrong and our definitions of the good life were written by thinkers who did not take care into consideration. This changed in the late 20th century with the care ethics movement, a group of philosophers, mostly women, who saw parenting and caregiving as fertile intellectual ground. This includes the work of Carol Gilligan, Nell Noddings, and many others who thought rigorously about what it means to do right by another person in a relational setting. Think of it as the opposite of trolley problem or highly abstract and theoretical philosophy. When we care for others, we are engaged in a relational process that pushes us to think clearly about how to serve the other person in front of us and what that means for the world at large. Our earliest introduction to ethics tends to come by the way of the phrase, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." This is a good starter approach, but is ultimately lacking because, and this should be obvious, but somehow rarely is, humans don't all want the same thing. What I, the parent, wants, and what my child, the recipient of my care, wants, are often different. The process of attempting to bridge that gap and truly see the other makes for a deeply rich and generative moral education. Simone Weil called attention the rarest and purest form of generosity. Iris Murdoch spoke of the importance of piercing the veil of selfish consciousness and joining the world as it really is. All this happens when we care. Number 5. Care is a profound spiritual process. When we think about spiritual seekers, those looking to commune with that great big other, where do we imagine them doing this holy work? In most traditions, it is away from the home and family, far away from care, whether in a monastery, religious study hall, or house of worship. Care, ordinary and domestic, has rarely been considered an activity that contains much spiritual promise throughout history. Why? Caregiving and religion have a lot in common. They both push us to grapple with the mysteries and complexities of life. And suffering, rejoicing, despairing, and hoping is all part of the process. In both our spiritual and our caregiving lives, we toggle between feeling adrift in chaos and having a deep sense of purpose, moving through the questions and certainties that help us tell the stories of our days. All the paradoxes of human existence, the very ones we've long grappled with through religion and other forms of spirituality, are present in care. It's time for spiritual traditions to honor care, and viewing those who do it as teachers from whom we could learn a whole lot.
Thank you, Alyssa. That was Alyssa Strauss with 5 big ideas from When You Care, the unexpected magic of caring for others. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.